a lizard got in our house a couple nights ago, a little brown lizard with a blue tail. I was like going in and out to the backyard where the shed was, like putting stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And it got in, but we didn't realize it until the next day. And my husband just freaked out when he saw it. And then he had to leave for work. He's like, there's a lizard. I got to go. Bye. And I was like, fuck. So the lizard was scared shitless and it went under the couch. I couldn't get him. And then my kids were napping. And then he was in the like doorway where the sunlight comes in. And he was just like sunning himself or herself. I don't know. Themself.
All lizards are male.
That's what I mean, right? Yeah. Like all dogs are male and all cats are female. It's that.
Exactly. It's science.
Yes. And so he's just sunning, like he like owned the place. And I was like, okay. And I freaked out. And so one of my friends was like texting me how to get rid of it. And then of course I couldn't, like I tried to get it with a box and et cetera, et cetera. It ran in the fireplace. And I was like, well, he's gone until who knows when.
Okay. So wild question here. Why did you feel the need to get rid of the lizard? Because I probably would have just let it stay.
Well, okay. So I looked up this lizard and they're not venomous or whatever, poisonous. And they're pretty scared of everything. But if they do bite you, it'll hurt pretty bad. And I was just like, it's in the living room where my kids, like, which is also my kids' playroom. So I was like, I gotta get them out.
Yeah, but don't they eat bugs? I mean, it's sort of like having a bodega cat.
It is. They can get rid of pests, but we don't really have any pests. So I was just like, I don't know. I just don't want to. They can climb up walls and hide behind paintings. And I was just like, I don't want to like wake up and he's in my mouth. You know, like that's the thing.
That has literally never happened to anyone.
You know, it's like spiders crawl in your mouth. You know that? I think it's a myth. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Nothing that you can eat will crawl in your mouth because shit doesn't want to get eaten.
Yeah, but still, I'm scared of that. This is my irrational fear.
So I discovered a TV show that people have been watching for years, I guess. Have you ever seen Naked and Afraid?
Yes, of course. They're naked and afraid.
Yeah, I just watched a guy catch a lizard and bite the head off.
What? Why?
So he could eat it.
Oh, my God. I mean, but you know, that whole show is like, there's a whole production crew with a like crafty, they're all going to be fine. They're not really going to die.
Oh no. I'm sure it's fake. I'm sure they probably, if they're not sleeping in a hotel, they're at least sleeping in a tent. I don't think they're really out there in that shit. And they're giving them water.
Also, they want to be there. Like, what makes you want to be naked and afraid?
There is like no prize money for this. So you don't get to win $1 million. You just,
it's nothing.
Shit.
So people can see you naked and afraid. Anyways, back to my lizard story. I got the lizard out yesterday. I was like, he's not going to come back out until the kids are gone because he's afraid of the kids. So he was in the sun, sunning himself again, just chilling. And I got this Paw Patrol bucket they got for Easter.
That's propaganda.
I know it is. I know. I didn't buy it. It wasn't me that bought it.
Oh, okay.
I would never buy Paw Patrol. I will not even let them watch Paw Patrol. And then I like stood on the end table and I like slowly brought the bucket down on top of the lizard. And then I moved the bucket, opened the door and aimed the bucket outside. And he went out. He went out. I was like, I did it. I did it. But then a wasp came in during that whole process. So I was like, fuck.
This segment has been brought to you by Geico.
Right. All right.
That's right, Geico. Invoice forthcoming.
You got some free promo.
Oh, no. I've been voicing for that shit. So welcome back to Eat the Press, guys.
Welcome back.
Since we last spoke, we touched a bit on the voter suppression law passed by the Georgia State Legislature. Since then, certain corporations have spoken out against said voter suppression law. And surprise, surprise, Republicans have chosen to retaliate against those companies.
Yes.
Which theoretically goes against everything the Republicans say they stand for.
It does. It's kind of funny.
I mean, Citizens United established corporations as people and money as speech. Mm-hmm. But apparently speech is not speech because speech can be punished.
Right. What's so funny is one of the things I read that McConnell said was something along the lines of like, these corporations better get themselves out of politics. Like, how dare they insert themselves into politics? And it's like, bro, that's politics is only corporation. What the fuck? We're not stupid.
Yeah. You are the one pushing pushed historically for corporations to be able to give as much as possible to politicians.
Right. And he was like threatening them. They better be careful. I don't know what we'll do. And I'm like, ooh, I hope he does a communism to get back at the corporations.
That's what I love about this. Every move that they want to take against these corporations is like inadvertently leftist.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, come on, take away their tax breaks. Yeah, for sure. Do that.
Yeah. So the first thing that happened is the CEO of Delta made some mealy mouth ass statement about how the law was discriminatory. Mind you, the CEO of Delta could have stopped that law from passing. If they really cared about that shit, Delta is headquartered in Atlanta. It's the largest employer in the state of Georgia. They absolutely could have stopped that from passing, but they didn't really give a shit. They just wanted to save face, put out a good public statement.
Right. Everything corporations do is extremely, what is the word? It goes through committee. What is that word?
Like vetted. But of course, Republicans being thin-skinned, petty, and vindictive, the very first thing they did is the Republican state-led state legislature in Georgia voted to revoke a jet fuel tax credit that they were given to Delta that cost Delta tens of millions of dollars a year.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, they should pay their fucking taxes.
Yes, they should. They don't.
Except this was done out of retaliation for saying, you know what, people should be able to vote.
Right.
You should be able to give someone waiting on a hot ass long line a bottle of water.
Right. I don't see how this is a win-win situation for Republicans. I don't see how like they're going to piss off their donors and do left things. Like, great, do it. Like, we're not against this.
No, I'm totally for that. Not for retaliation, but yes, Delta should pay 100% for its jet fuel and all that shit should be taxed.
Right. And didn't Major League Baseball move a game out? I don't know which game, but they moved a game out of Atlanta.
So yeah, MLB moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta. I think it's been moved to Denver now.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say, I don't even know what I was going to say. Go ahead.
And shortly thereafter, Republican legislators, I believe Senator Mike Lee said that because of this, they need to look to remove MLB's antitrust exemption.
That's what it is. Yes. Which I had no idea they had an exemption. But yes, get rid of it. What the fuck?
Yeah, the ruling for that exemption was, I forgot which Supreme Court, who was the Supreme Court Chief Justice at the time. But in coming down in support of antitrust, they said that Major League Baseball just puts on exhibitions across the country. It's not interstate commerce, and thus it doesn't need to be regulated. And decades later, that's still the law of the land.
That's crazy because this doesn't apply, as far as I know, to the NFL or to the NBA.
Right. Although the NFL and NBA are both considered nonprofits.
What? How did I not know this? How are they nonprofits? This is, fuck, man, this country.
In all fairness, like when you dig down and get a little bit more granular with it, each team is taxable independently.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall league is ostensibly just a conglomeration. It's an association of these independent entities.
Right. Right.
And therefore, this association should be nonprofit.
Sounds like bullshit to me, but
it's absolute. You know what's really funny is about these leagues is they're basically like communism for rich people.
Yes. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you don't, your team doesn't have to be successful. You just get a share of the revenue because you showed up, they showed up and worked.
How come the rich get communism and socialism? I don't, what? I don't get this.
Okay, before you guys get mad and slap your headphones down, we know that's not actual communism, but just roll with us.
Right, yeah, we're generalizing here.
It is communal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's capitalism.
Right, but it's communal and it's capitalism for wealthy owners.
Oh, the NBA has decided that owners is not cool to say. Because you know,
just the same way it's not cool in real estate to call it the master bedroom.
Oh, really? That's the thing? I'm still calling it the master bedroom. Fuck you people.
They've changed it. I just noticed on like Redfin, I was looking at stuff because I just like to look at stuff that I can't
afford.
I'm fine
with the master bedroom. I find that inoffensive, but it's a lot different from saying LeBron James sat down to meet with his owner.
Exactly. Like, but you know what? That's icky. But at the same time, I go, y'all just change language. You don't actually change the actions behind that language.
Right. So now they're called governors.
Okay. What?
Yeah. The teams don't have owners. They have governors now.
Can you vote them out?
No, you know, if I were an NBA governor, I would wear like a white linen suit.
A top hat? Would you wear a top hat?
I wouldn't wear a top hat, but I probably would wear a bow tie. I would get my fucking Colonel Sanders on.
All right, then.
And I make them call me Governor.
Governor. Yes, sir, Governor. Whatever you say, Governor.
That's why I'm not allowed to have a lot of money. That's why capitalism is bad. Because mm-hmm. I would fall prey to all the trappings.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. How do we take away all the trappings from the rich people? How
guns.
Do we do that? I just don't think that's going to work, though, because they have more guns and they have police. It's not going to work.
It's like that Outkast song.
Which one?
Ooh. Now, you know, now I don't remember the name of the song, but this one was like, while we ranting and raving about gats, nigga, they made them gats. They got some shit to blow out our backs for where they stay. Honestly, yes, strength in numbers.
Yes, but they have bombs.
Yeah, but who operates those bombs?
Workers. It's true. We're becoming a communist and socialist podcast. I don't know if you guys know this, but maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I've become super radicalized. I don't know if you noticed, our listeners noticed.
So we were talking offline about how there's very little difference between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of leftists have been arguing this for years, and that's why they opt out of electoral politics.
Right. And I understand it more now. I mean, I've always felt that way, but I think it has really hit home for me this last year. I've always felt that way, but this year I'm like, nah, there really isn't that much difference between them.
I come down as a pragmatist, which I believe most Black people are, that if you are not about to take up arms and go to the street, you do have to mm-hmm. kind of buy into the system a little bit. Otherwise, one side will kill you faster than the other side.
Right. Say what you told me in the text message.
Yeah, the analogy that I came up with, and again, this is not a nice analogy, it's kind of gross, but it harkens back to like slavery.
Yes.
Whereas both parties are fundamentally holding us back. They're fundamentally oppressing us. Mm-hmm. Whereas one party, the Democrats, understand that enslaved human beings need food. They need shelter. They need medical care. And if you can create better conditions for them to live under, they can be more productive.
Right. And they're probably not going to rise up against you.
Right. Whereas the Republicans were like, just run them into the fucking ground.
Kill them.
Expendable cogs. Yeah,
we don't care. Kill them. We do not care. There's plenty of them. That's how they look. Although I will say that Democrats will do the bare fucking minimum. It's not even like they're saying, hey, everybody should have health care and everybody should have a living wage. They're not even fucking doing that.
Right. I think the Democrats would be perfectly fine with raising the minimum wage to $11 an hour, and the Republicans would be perfectly fine with abolishing the minimum wage. But yes, neither one will give you a living wage.
Right. And this is why there's like a small bandwidth, and I know it's been said before, of acceptable discourse and difference between them. When you go outside of that, you're an extremist, and you don't really get a platform, I think. But they're both actually quite right, and the amount of difference between them is very, very small.
Although, in all fairness, that sliver of difference is life or death for a lot of vulnerable populations.
But they know that. Jason and I have talked about this offline, about how, well, you know, we've talked about too on the show that, and I've always said this, that the inequality is getting so bad. When are people going to say enough is enough? And Jason has said before, it's not going to happen in this country because white people and black people are divided by race. And I think that must make them so happy. They feel safe. You know, they feel safe, like, they're never going to unite against us.
I mean, that's why a lot of white leftists, and when I say white leftists again, I don't mean leftists who happen to be white.
Certain white leftists.
Yes, I mean class reductionists. Yes. Leftists who don't believe that identity matters.
Mm-hmm.
Miss the point. And that's why they think that the working class disgruntled whites are comrades, when in fact they are agents of white supremacy, and they will choose that. Yes. Over solidarity. And you can't bring them into circles and ask vulnerable people to organize with them.
Right. You can't say, hey, listen, I'm sure our listeners know of this like little Twitter thing that keeps, you know, kind of happening, where white people come out on Twitter and they're like, I used to be a Nazi, but now I'm a leftist. And it's like, I don't know. Great, you used to be a Nazi. There are plenty of people who didn't used to be a Nazi. You know, why would I want to feel safe with you if you have it in you to be a Nazi?
Yeah, like if you used to be a Nazi and you have changed your ways, just sit your ass at home and donate money.
Right.
Just don't. You can't be in the circle.
Right. I don't know if I would feel comfortable with you advocating for people that you used to consider less than.
And, you know, these same people love to invoke Fred Hampton, and they talk about how Fred Hampton organized with the Young Patriots, which were a group of Southern Appalachian whites who relocated to the far north side of Chicago.
Right.
I believe most in the Uptown neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cheap labor, and they were put upon. And as part of their symbolism of Southern heritage, because they were outsiders, they did use the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
As part of their imagery. That said, they were explicitly a leftist and anti-racist organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and yes, the Confederate flag is horrifically racist.
Yes.
But this particular group did not hold those associations. And, you know, sometimes you hear white people say it's heritage, not hate. That's bullshit in the year 2020.
I'm not going to ever
2021.
Argue. Yes, it's 2021, Jason. Yeah. I'm not going to debate whether that's racist or not. As far as I'm concerned, that's settled. It's racist.
Right. But when you literally just come out of the hills in the 60s, maybe you don't get that.
Right.
Maybe you don't get that.
Context.
But Fred Hampton did not organize with white supremacists. He was not the chairman of the Illinois Class Panther Party. It was the fucking Black Panther Party.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess back to our topic that we really went sideways on. So the Republicans are threatening corporations, and corporations, I don't know. I mean, what's the end goal out of all this?
It is to stifle dissent, but you know, if we could like boost tax revenue by taxing these corporations.
Right. And I don't know if I should say this, but I sent you that. Did you read that article I sent you?
The China one?
Yeah.
I have not read that. No.
Okay.
I will though.
Okay. I don't, should I talk about it? I feel like I don't know enough about China to like say with any authority.
Go for it.
Should I? Cause I don't know. I mean,
you can just refer to a piece that you read.
Okay. So I read this piece and I'm going to just say off the bat, I don't know enough about China to say.
I believe it's pronounced China.
China. I don't know if I'm enough about China to say whether or not all of this is true. There are a lot of like references. So like you could check this writer's work. I'm not going to say who it is or what it is. It's an independent person. So on the one hand, I can't verify who they are, you know, so I don't know quite what their game is. They also they might be a tanky.
There are lots of tankies out there.
So they might be a tanky, but he did put a lot of like links to references and he quoted mainstream articles. Anyways, that's all to say. I know China is bad on human rights. I know that. Guess what? So is America. So is the United States. We're probably just as bad if you think about it, here and abroad. It's terrible. The point of the article was to basically say how China has implemented communism with capitalism and how they've made it work. And I'm really reducing this long ass article because a lot of it is like in the weeds, but basically they don't let the corporations have a political voice. They don't get to be a political class. So that's how they're able to kind of keep communism working, is because they don't let the wealthy people use their money to influence the party. And go ahead.
I just can't reconcile communism with billionaires. That's the.
I know, but they don't. They aren't allowed to use their political power. That's the thing. Maybe that's how it works. I don't know. Like, all the money goes to infrastructure. All the money goes to housing people. Like, they, I guess, pay a lot of taxes. I don't know.
China can definitely build some shit.
They can.
With
haste. Like, look how many freaking hospitals they put up at the beginning of COVID. Insane.
China built whole cities that they can't get people to move into.
I know. I've seen that. It's so weird. Just empty ass cities. Really spooky, actually. Anyways.
Meanwhile, we can't fill a pothole.
Dude, in New York, there used to be a pothole that would continually come up on this street that I lived on because they just filled it so shittily. They didn't actually fix it, that people just started putting an entire trash can in the pothole. And that was that. There was a trash can in the pothole.
It's a public surface. It keeps people from breaking their rims or whatever, fucking up their alignment.
Yep. Anyways, I'm off course. I'm talking out of pocket. I don't know what I'm talking about.
But you know, that does actually transition us a bit into the other thing we wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Which was Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure plan.
Right.
Which, of course, is being hung up right now by guess who?
I don't know. Who?
Joe Manchin.
Get rid of that motherfucker. Seriously, get rid of him.
Right. Biden wants to raise the corporate income tax, I believe, up to 28% to fund this.
And it's what, like 23 right now? 20? No, it's like even in the teens, I think.
It's between 19 and 21.
Okay.
Now, just for sake of reference, before Trump's tax cut, it was 35%. So we're not even talking about raising to historical levels. We want to come short of the Obama era corporate tax rate. I mean, not we, I mean the Democrats, because right. I say tax the shit out of them.
And that's putting aside the fact that corporations have the best accountants and can get around not even paying that.
Oh, they don't pay close to the stated tax rate. But yeah, Manchin believes that's too high. But every president, at least in my lifetime, has talked about some massive infrastructure plan, and we've yet to get it.
Wasn't there a running joke during Trump that it was infrastructure week every week?
You know, Trump is such a fucking idiot. People talk about his political instincts. He would have been reelected 5 times if he had gone through with an infrastructure package.
He's lazy. He's lazy. He didn't actually want to do anything. He just wanted to tweet.
And the thing is, like, that's the perfect place for corruptions and kickbacks and bribes.
Mm-hmm.
Contractors, like, that's golden.
He's a builder. Come on.
Seriously. But one of the aims of Biden's infrastructure plan is to undo racial injustices in terms of infrastructure.
Right.
And, you know, urban redevelopment was a big trend in the mid-century. And mm-hmm. a lot of that was really urban destruction. It was yes. decimating Black neighborhoods to build highways.
Right. The BQE in Brooklyn.
Oh, Robert Moses, mm-hmm. Basically the architect of modern New York.
Yes.
He was an absolute monster.
Yes, absolute monster. And I've lived by the BQE and like, blah. He wanted to also put a like highway, elevated highway through the middle of downtown Manhattan, which is, or like the village. I think Jane, what's her name? Jacobs. She stopped that. But yeah, he just wanted to destroy stuff in the name of progress.
Right. And, you know, some cities and states have taken it upon themselves to undo that. One of the more prominent examples was Boston's Big Dig.
Mm-hmm. I remember you lived there when that happened.
Yeah, they were finishing up when I was there. You know, it went like 20 years
right
past the termination time and like
right.
tripled budget.
Can you imagine being 20 years late on a deadline and still keeping your job?
It came in like billions and billions and billions over budget. But essentially, they decided to take these highways that had cut communities off and bury them.
That's not a bad idea.
Now, one of the main neighborhoods in Boston that was separated by highways was Little Italy. It's the North End, but it's basically mm-hmm. Boston's Little Italy. And then South Boston, which is where the poor whites lived. So it was not so much a racial issue in Boston, which maybe is why they took it upon themselves to do it. A couple of decades before these justices are being righted in Black communities.
Right.
Where I live, Pittsburgh, right now, the historical Black neighborhood was the Hill District. That's where, you know, August Wilson lived. That's where all the jazz musicians lived. The Hill District is adjacent to downtown. So, mm-hmm. of course, they just cut that shit off with highways. You can't be able to walk from the Black neighborhoods to downtown.
Right.
And then they decimated a good deal of the homes in the Lower Hill District to build, guess what? A hockey arena. Because Black people love hockey.
What?
But right now, what they're doing is now they're building a park that goes over the highways to reconnect that Black neighborhood with downtown. And of course, it's just going to gentrify the shit out of it.
Of course. I make it so that Black people can't even afford to live there anymore.
But we've talked about redlining in the past, where they literally drew red lines on the map around Black neighborhoods, and that's where they would not finance loans.
Yes.
When redlining ended and legal segregation ended, in some places, they literally built the highways on the line.
Wow.
Yeah, just to keep Black people out of white neighborhoods physically.
Do you know anything about where I live in, like, Richmond? Where they did that in Richmond, because I'm sure they did.
I do know a bit about Richmond. I believe it's where I-64 and 95 are. They cut off the Jackson Ward neighborhood, which was the seat of Richmond's traditional Black wealth. You know, it's basically like Richmond's version of Black Wall Street.
Right.
They cut that off in the city with Interstate 64.
And there's some beautiful houses there.
Yeah, like basically if you live in a city with a highway, and there's any Black population or historical Black population, that highway either runs through those neighborhoods or destroyed that neighborhood.
Just terrible. So back to Biden's.
So his infrastructure plan aims to rebuild these neighborhoods and make them whole, which is critical. But every time there's a redevelopment effort in a Black community, just wonder how much longer Black people are going to be able to hold on to that community.
Right. They're going to be pushed out.
But still, you got to try something. And we have to fix these roads.
Right.
We have bridges are crumbling. I went to Korea a couple of years back and rented a car. Normally when I travel abroad, I don't drive. Mm-hmm. But we did this thing where we basically drove through the entire country over the course of a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And I was just floored at how impeccable the highways were.
Have you ever seen, I don't know where this is, but I want to say it's Japan, but I could be wrong. But there's like a highway and then the bus, and like maybe it's an electric bus, I'm not sure, an electric bus in the middle of the highway. And then on top of that, there's like a bike lane. It's like so efficient.
Right. And you think like, we were talking about the potholes in New York. You know, I've lived in basically all of America's cold cities because I'm a masochist.
Yeah. Yeah,
they all have shitty roads because of the freeze-thaw cycle.
Right.
When I drove to Korea, I was like, why are these roads so perfect? This is a cold country. This is a country that hosted a Winter Olympics. It's like 80% mountains.
Right. And so what are they doing that's different?
Well, the biggest one is maintenance.
Like, I was going to say maintenance and investment.
They invest in infrastructure. I mean, there are a couple other small things, like they don't use salt, they use calcium chloride, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But it's like other countries fix shit.
I mean, how can people, if they actually learn anything about anything, go, we're the best country? We're fucking not, guys. And we're not the best country.
No, we're not. And infrastructure like helps everyone. We all live here and we deal with the infrastructure, but infrastructure is jobs.
Yes. That's the other part of Biden's plan is, how much was it? I can't remember. It's a big number going towards, basically home care workers is that what it was called? It's basically, people who take care of other people. And that ends up being mostly women, mostly Black women, mostly people of color.
Yeah, that'll get trimmed out.
You know, I
once they take the scissors to it.
I saw that Biden was like willing to negotiate with the Republicans, and he didn't say what he would negotiate with. But as soon as I saw that, I was like, he's gonna take that out.
You know what's gonna happen when it's all said and done? We're gonna get highways and new roads and suburbs, and we're going to get nothing for mass transit. We're not going to get the Amtrak expansion. It'll just be pork for red states.
Right. When are they going to just drop the filibuster? Just fucking stop it. Republicans would have done dropped it by now.
Yeah. And the Republicans' threats that we will just be obstructionists if you give it to the filibuster. How is that a threat? That's what they're doing now. Yeah,
you already are an obstructionist. They already, like, they're doing right now what they say they're going to threaten you with.
Yeah, and then they say, well, when we, the next time we're back in office, we'll just pass everything we want. We'll undo everything. That's okay. What they do. They pass everything that they have the votes to pass. They couldn't repeal Obamacare because guess what? Pre-existing conditions was really popular.
Yes. And they couldn't get rid of it. Yeah. I mean, this is why they're not that different, because the Democrats just were like, yeah, status quo is fine.
And that's it. I mean, we've said this before, but the modern Democratic Party is conservative.
Mm-hmm. They're the Republicans.
Yeah, they don't want to see things change very much. The status quo is pretty good as it is.
For them.
Yeah.
And they're all millionaires. They're almost all of them are millionaires. In the Senate.
Yeah. I was about to say, the House, you got a lot of broke boys.
And that's fine. I'd rather have broke boys in the Senate, though.
Seriously.
Here's what I don't understand. Make them live on minimum wage. All of them. Make them all get paid minimum wage. And they don't get to do insider trading.
Do you know what we would have?
What? We would have everything.
We would have the absolute richest legislature in the world. It would be nothing but independently wealthy people who don't have to work.
Oh, fuck. How do we solve this? Communism.
Basically.
Socialism.
Well, yeah, like that's why, the Olympics are all about amateurism, even though now they have pro athletes.
Yes.
The reason amateurism was created was so that sports could be dominated by rich people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they didn't want professionals in the Olympics because that poor people could do that. But if the only people who could compete were the people who could train year round.
Right, who don't have to work. Yeah. Let me tell you, this is the system in everything. This is why it's so hard to make it as an artist, any type of artist, because the people who make it in whatever art they're doing, actors, comedians, musicians, they're usually wealthy. They usually come from money. They don't have to work. They can focus just on their art.
Yeah, they can take those unpaid internships.
Exactly. It's this meritocracy thing is a huge lie. Huge lie. I can't tell you how many people in comedy that I'm, you know, associated with, or I'm none of my friends really, but people I know, they were able to dedicate all of their time to comedy. I had to work, and thus they got better quicker at whatever they were doing. They were able to go audition and take, like you said, unpaid internships. I'm not bitter. You're bitter. Well.
We gotta love America, don't
we? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We don't have to love this.
No, but we love you.
We do. So, do you have any assholes of the week?
Oh, man. I had one at the beginning of the show. And I've
God, Debbie, you do this every week. You go, oh, I had one.
I did. I totally had an asshole of the week at the beginning of the show.
Well, I'm not in your brain, so I can't help you. Okay. Well. As always, thank you to our music from Kevin MacLeod.
License to Creative Commons. And follow us at Yeet the Press. Email us, yeetthepress@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you'd like to hear.
Yeah. We're Jason and I just decided we're going to do a book club and read it together and maybe talk a little bit about it on the show. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And if you think that's a horrible idea, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll give you your money back.
Yep. We'll help you unsubscribe. Also, please rate us on iTunes. Give us however many stars they let you give us. 4, 5? I can't
remember. Good. 5's good.
Yes. And leave us a review if you feel inclined. Jason.
See you next week.
Later.